And again, Tuesday morning to you, and welcome into the DDC here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, 106.3 in The Game, Nashville app. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick here with you for the next 4 hours. Elijah Campbell behind the glass, or is it plexi? I don't know. What is that? Is that really glass? I don't even know.
Plexi.
It's bulletproof.
I think, is it? Is it bulletproof?
Bulletproof.
That's it smart.
It is rockproof.
There's only one way to find out.
Hey,
rage-proof.
I've seen hosts and producers go at it over the years.
Yeah.
So you need bulletproof.
You need protection back there.
I thought that I needed. I tried to save a producer in Detroit at the Super Bowl on Radio Row whenever we got Vince Young, and the host was right next to us. Their table was next to us. They were from Milwaukee, and he went bonkers on his producer. Why are you here? That's why you're here to get those guests. Why? Where is Vince Young? Why are you even here? Just go home. And I'm just like standing there because at this point, you know, I'm just taping interviews, and I'm like waiting to like jump in because it's getting pretty ugly and it's right in front of everyone. But cooler heads prevailed eventually.
That's where the producer has a chance maybe to start singing the Take This Job and Shove It song.
Well, I will say this. This is a guy, I will leave his name out of it. First name Peter. he was a national guy for a long time. He was on a big platform. So yeah.
Those guys are never hot-headed. Or
no.
Loud-mouthed.
Usually very cool, calm, yeah. And collected guys. No egos. No nothing. I mean, it's just weird behavior from a guy that's been on a big stage.
Oh, yeah. No
big
ego.
Big platform. No, not at all. So we've determined it is glass, I think. We're going to go with glass.
There's no way that's just straight up glass, is it? There's no plexi to it? There's no give?
I don't know. We'll examine it during the break.
Okay, we'll do a research project. We're not going to actually test by throwing rocks or anything.
No, because then, you know. A suit will come in here for sure.
Oh, he'll come storming in here.
Yeah.
And he's a guy. Now that he's in the position, there's no question. He can start verbally challenging people. He's got the authority.
I thought you were getting ready to say harassing.
I wouldn't call it that. We haven't seen that yet, but I'm just wondering now. I mean, he's starting to put his roots down as our leader.
Are you saying he's becoming a bit of a hothead?
No, not at all. But I'm saying he's growing into the leadership role, and so there may be times he has to drop the hammer.
Yeah. Well, he has dropped it before. Yeah. He was trying to swing and hit a car, and they dropped the sledgehammer on his foot.
People get hurt when Chase drops the hammer.
So does his feet. They get hurt too, his toes.
You don't want to be on the hammer list.
How's Carrie? Speaking of hammers, how's the Hammer family?
They are doing great.
With the newborn.
They so Remy is a week old, a little over a week old now. I've gotten a couple pictures that she has shared with the broadcast group, so that is exciting stuff. So, yeah. In fact, I'll have to see if we can get an update this week. But she's with her family, Dustin, her husband. So they spend a lot of time in Colorado during the summer, and so they'll be back here in the fall. But they've got a lot of family surrounding there, so it's exciting. It's exciting.
Segway, you said Colorado.
Segway, Colorado.
Man, if you weren't watching that last night.
The suit just came storming in. He just stormed in here. Look at him. He's pacing.
Is he taking his shirt off?
He says, don't throw anything off the glass. Don't test the glass.
I knew it.
He's really worried.
Do you believe he was told?
You're not going to bank any shots in off this glass, so don't do that.
So is it glass or is it plexi?
Yes, it's glass.
It is real glass. 100%.
How much give does it have?
I don't know. I don't want to find out how much give a lot of things in here have. So let's not do that.
And look at that. The suit comes in, drops a good line, and then leaves. Yeah. Drops the mic and leaves.
So perhaps we need to commission a test, you know, from some experts to really get the answers. He doesn't have the answers to our questions.
No, he doesn't. Go have a meeting about the glass, Chase.
It's going to be put on the agenda.
No, we have to have a meeting about the meeting that we're going to have. Then we'll do that.
A lot of meetings.
Oh. So if you weren't watching last night,
man, what a game.
Did you miss a third period of a hockey game?
Holy cow. It had everything. It had people swearing everything. On the air. It had reviews.
I mean, honestly.
What is going on?
Can we just skip to Friday at noon? Don Kaharsky, like you.
Don.
Come on,
Coho.
Man.
I don't know him well enough to call him Coho. All those guys call him that.
I'm now losing interest in Don.
Well, listen. He seems to be one of those guys that everybody kind of likes. But really, multiple times when he's come on during the course of the season, I try to give him slack because it's a new thing for the NHL to do, and it's a smart thing. They need a referee for the big games.
Do they?
To come in and do the things
or
that they're asking him to do.
Somebody that knows how to do it right.
Okay, let me. Well, that's where
and
I'm going.
Doesn't cuss on the air.
Well, doesn't now. Honestly, I do wonder. That's the last game on TNT. So they now have a chance to reevaluate that position. I do wonder if he'll be back, honestly, because that's
what
grounds
is he
for
thinking.
You can't do,
you can't say holy snikes on the air.
He said it.
I mean, you physically can, might be frowned upon.
Well, I mean, he did.
He did it.
I mean, he did.
It wasn't bleeped out. And it was a massive call, which I honestly think you could argue that was a high stick. Can you imagine an overtime game-winning goal called back? It's like they did such a quick review.
It was pretty quick.
And by the time Don Kaharsky is trying to discuss and he's bumbling on all over the place and he says, holy bleep, they're trying to get their arms around it, and the call stands.
So
Kenny Albert goes, it's a goal.
Were you
the
watching?
The series is over.
I know. It was quick. I did not
I was
think
like,
it
wait
was
a minute.
That quick.
Darren Pang was just starting to say, you know what? That does look high. And when I slowed it down, I froze my TV. I can make a pretty good argument that that's a high stick. That should have been whistled dead for a high stick. The stick was above the shoulder.
Well, first of all, let's just say this.
It's a hard call.
You're wrong because the league always gets these right.
No,
so we know it's the right call. Oh, wait a minute. No, we don't. What? There's controversy with the review? No way. But
it's like the league said. It's like the guys on the headset, like, you know what? It's 3-0. This ends the series.
Let's get out
They're
of here.
They're not going to win.
Let's just get
out of here. I mean, honestly.
Bill Daly,
thoughts. Do you think that, I mean, I know that they can't say that that's
Gary Bettman, your thoughts.
But that was such a quick review. If that's game 7, I'm really ticked off. But it's like the Oilers after it went in. They're like, whatever. You know, they didn't go nuts. I would have gone nuts if I was the guy.
They really didn't.
Mike Smith, I got to be going like, wait a minute.
I know.
That was a high stick. I don't know how well he got to look at it. I wonder how much after the game they got a chance to really break it down. The stick is above the shoulder, I think. But nonetheless,
was I. And did you?
Don Kaharsky.
Was anybody in the room?
No, I was the only person in the room.
We were all in the room. And I'm like looking around going, did he just?
Oh, yeah. Yes, he did.
Like, and Lauren's looking at me. Maddox is like, you know, he kind of perked up. He's like in his, but he here. I mean, we're all kind of look. And I was like, did he just say holy?
Yes, he did.
And I was trying. I don't want to go close. I don't even want to go close. And
I think because we all know.
I rewind it, and I'm like, holy blank, he did say that. Done. What are you doing, man? You're supposed to be describing the action and taking us through whether it's a high stick or not, and you see the replay and you blurt out, holy snikes.
And there's no reason for him. You know what I mean? Like, when you say that and you don't mean to say it, usually something really jarring happened, like out of nowhere. He's just watching a replay.
He's just watching the replay.
So I don't understand where that came from, but he's had a series of, to me, not real smooth, and he's obviously a very popular guy. People really like him. They joke with him all the time, but that job is not getting done the way it needs to get done, in my opinion. I'm not a referee, but we all know that it's a very tricky job to start with the rules, as we've discussed many times. If you don't know that rule book backward and forward and how it's been modified and the latest thing, you're going to get exposed.
As we've seen
in other
leagues.
And I don't want that job in a million years. But there's got to be some.
Cut out for it.
Not everybody's cut out for it. Even referees like Don Kowarski, who did games
NFL?
In the league forever. Oh, yeah, they had to fire some guys. Yeah.
What? 1 year, one, done. He's like, yeah, we're done. He's done.
Yeah.
And moved on. He ref Mike for
Carey.
A long time. Yeah. He ref for a long time.
Oh, and an excellent referee, yeah.
It didn't work out.
Well, he was
in that position. Yeah. He was getting things wrong left and right. And how is it? And by the way, that should explain things for people who think they have chance for refs and people have feelings about referees. It doesn't make a great case for them whenever they get in this position and they act like they don't know the rules. They don't know what's going on.
And at the same time, you have to understand how hard that job is and how important the referees are, the umpires in all the sports, the officials. You have to have them. They're essential. And so that's when also you think about how hard it is at the top level to be the best. And I always try to keep that in mind. If I see a call or two that I didn't like watching my son's games in high school or whatever, I have to remind myself, you know what? These guys are doing the best they can. If they were that great, they'd be at the next level, and I'm mad at the guys at the next level.
So you don't swear at them?
No.
All right, we'll come back.
Maybe in my mind, but not actually.
You've never blurted out, holy moly.
Holy. Oh, man.
Inside voice. We'll come back. More on the other side. Vince Ferrara at the other side. By the way, something yesterday, we got caught up in everything that was going on that week. There was another big story, so we're going to get into that. Obviously, he was on the broadcast, and so we're going to get into, and something that just, again, like you can't do in the position that you're in. But we'll do that at the bottom of the hour. More DDC next.
Is a disgusting act.
Disgusting. Back here on the DDC, Darren McFarland, Willie Donick here on this Tuesday morning. Hope everybody's having a good day thus far. I think it could be off and on rain. Troy in Murfreesboro's got a good question. Is it bird-proof glass? That's a really good question. Troy, we'll see if we can't coax a bird to come in the studio.
Boy, maybe we should
fly into it.
Maybe we should
but
not
that
do
wouldn't
that.
That wouldn't be a good idea. Because what if it doesn't go well? That's like on our hands, you know?
Yep.
Well, then we know. We haven't answered our question then, which is a really important element here.
But then people leave mean texts.
They can talk about that.
About
the
bird's life. And then you know who's coming after us. PETA is coming
after
us.
That's true.
Dave Winfield, way back in the day,
he sure
was playing for the Yankees in Toronto. He hit a seagull by accident, just throwing the ball into the infield, and the authorities had him overnight.
Yeah. Look, we don't want that.
We don't want that. We just don't want to go there.
Troy, it's a good question, but we just don't want that on our hands.
No.
You know, Wayne from Spring Hill says, let's call Ernest T. Bass to test and see if the glass is real or not. Could do that. Good suggestions. Matt in Mount Juliet on our text line, driven by Wilson County Hyundai.com, says the Don Kowarski call was hilarious.
Twitter just went crazy.
He has been in the sauce for sure. And I don't think that's spaghetti.
Is that possible?
I don't think that's spaghetti
sauce. Can you rule that out? I don't know.
Look,
we're not going to speculate, but can you really rule that out if you make that mistake?
This is the wrong show just for us just to throw out speculation.
Speculation. It is left pure speculation. I'm just saying I don't know if you could rule that out. If you actually say, like, how can you say that on the air?
That's what I'm saying. I don't know in that position.
That is really
where
shocking.
You even would blur. Why would you blur? Think about it. You're on national television. Like, you're the role you're in, and you're looking at a replay just like the rest of us, and you don't think, I mean, sure, every day, you don't think for 4 hours a day, 5 days a week. I've already admitted over the years, I don't have the greatest mouth. It probably should have some soap in it at times. But I know when the mic is on, there's times when I would like to say things, but you don't. But if Matt in Mount Juliet is correct, I'm also not saucing Monday through Friday from 10 to 2. So if I were, maybe I would you know, put my guard down. I don't know. Tell you what, I'll do a call-in Thursday or Friday.
Who knows? I wonder.
I will not do that because I won't be back on Monday if I do that.
I do wonder if there's going to be some public comeback to it. In other words, they say, hey, I apologize, and et cetera. I mean, it's easy to laugh off, but we know with the FCC and everything, there's could be repercussions for that, right?
Well, yeah.
You're not supposed to do that.
Well, yeah. But I don't know. It's cable. Can you?
I don't know. I mean, it does feel like it's been looser. I have heard words like that blurted out every now and then on cable shows.
SNL, they blurt out words on...
They have?
Yeah.
On SNL?
Yeah. Well, that's on NBC.
Well, that's not even cable. Yeah.
Right. And I don't know what happens.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, did you see Dave Chappelle on SNL? I mean, you know, some words came out.
Yeah, but the word.
Well, you're right. That is one of the words.
Yeah. George Carlin has a whole comedy routine on
he does.
The seven words you can't say on television. That's one of them.
That is one of them, yes.
One of the seven. Has been for 50 years.
Here's the deal.
That's when that bit came out. Well.
Can you go through it?
Let me refer to
Elijah,
YouTube.
Elijah, play the clip. No, just kidding.
If you want to go on YouTube.
You passed the test.
Just type that in, the seven words you can't say on television, George Carlin, and you'll get a few laughs out of it. It's a great routine.
Everybody,
one of my favorites.
Text in the words, and we'll read the text. And we'll just say, hey. That was what the text said. No, don't do that. Also, what gets lost in all this is controversy at the end was an unbelievable third period.
Just an amazing game.
Back and forth. Colorado, that's what... And look, unfortunately, we saw it firsthand, right? They just have another gear. They have a gear that nobody... I don't think anybody else in the league has. They really do. And whenever they can't, is it a turbo button? I don't know. I don't know what the button is, but it's when they punch it, good luck. Because they punched it. It looked like Edmonton was going to, you know, okay, we talked about it yesterday. Elimination game. It's the toughest game. It is the toughest game. You know, it's very hard to close somebody out because they know their season is over. That was, by the way, in their arena. So you knew it was going to be hard. And I thought, well, okay.
That's 4-2.
Back to Denver. Right, 4-2 in the third. Back to Denver.
But there's something about when they kick it in
that
gear. And
then next thing you know, it's 5-4 Colorado.
When it was 4-2 and they scored, I was like, here we go. Watch out. Because if you remember, they did it to the Predators in that fourth game. The Predators finally took the lead for the first time in the series, and you're thinking, okay, this could happen. They're emptying the buckets. They're going to find a way to claw their way into one win. And that's when they hit the switch.
Would you guys stop texting in the words? I'm not going to read them.
But they are correct. We did see them. Yeah. They are correct. So congratulations. You win nothing.
These words are, by the way, some took it a little bit too far. Those would still count. But those are not actually the words on the list. But, yeah, those count. But, yeah, I'm not going to read those. But
yeah, the list, I think, has grown over the years.
Appreciate the help.
The base seven, the originals. And Karski had one of the base seven. But back to the Avs. Once they hit that gear, I don't think anybody can match them. And they have gotten this far without really being challenged and with their backup goalie playing about half the games. Now, that says something. And it's no offense to Darcy Kemper or Pavel Francouz, but those guys are good, solid goalies, but they've got a machine in front of them. Now, a big question going into the finals would be Nazem Kadri, thumb surgery. They're not ruling him out for the finals. They're going to have over a week. They're going to be in that rusty mode. So will we see him? People have done some crazy things to fingers, thumbs, to just get a grip on a stick, to give it a go. They definitely missed him last night. So we'll see if he's able to find a way to play, and can he play more effectively than somebody that would be in the lineup in his place. For example, Darnell Nurse came out after the game. He was playing with a torn labrum in his hip.
Yep.
And so he couldn't move, and he still tried to play, and he wasn't effective. They carved him up. But he's their best defenseman. They didn't have anybody else they felt like could go in there.
It came out last night. I was watching the post-game pressers. And
yeah. So this,
you always
this
find out
back,
what everybody was dealing with.
It comes back to
with.
A central question for me here.
And by the way, Draisaitl, you could tell. I mean, he just.
He's playing on one leg.
Yeah. Yeah.
When he missed that one-timer on the power play where he's like standing on one leg, you're like, okay, this guy's not. This guy's hurting. Because that's usually so easily into the back of the net. He makes it look that easy, but he was standing on one leg and he pulled it because he didn't have any kind of balance. He's still just trying to battle through it. But it comes back to a central question for me, and that is, with Colorado continuing to prove that they're a step ahead of everybody, that they've proven it now in the West, what does that mean for the Predators when you're self-evaluating? Does it change your thinking at all from the day that they lost in Game 4? The frustration, the aftermath of it, man, we're a long way from where we want to be. Is it just that you're playing a juggernaut right now because Colorado has proven to be a juggernaut going forward? Like Edmonton, Calgary, I think St. Louis is the second best team that I've seen, but Minnesota, all of these teams that are in the playoffs, they're all kind of having the same question that the Predators are having. Are we really that close to winning when Colorado is this good?
Well, Robbie and Joe asked me that yesterday morning at 9 o'clock when I was on with them.
I think it's a good question. The answer could vary. I heard Adam give his answer. He doesn't change his mind, but that doesn't surprise me at all because Adam has been sticking to this, you know, from the start. But it's one of those things where you're never as good as you seem. You're never as good as you think you are, and you're never as bad as you think you are. I do think that that can play tricks on your mind some. So that's what they really have to do with an honest assessment of where they are.
Thomas in Nashville. Is that Thomas Willis? If it is, hey, Thomas. Thomas in Nashville, he said, AEW wrestling broadcaster on TNT and TBS, and he said they say profane words all the time. So I don't know. Maybe you can. I'm not sure. I haven't watched AEW wrestling. Maybe we should get the suit back in here to, anytime we talk wrestling, get him in here to weigh in on this. But we'll come back. Vince Ferrar, our buddy in Knoxville. We're going to talk about the other story that was big over the weekend with the Vols, and we'll do that next. It never gets old on this show. It's never too much. Getting a little Smoky Mountain rain. Let's head east back, you know, around the DDC.
There are times where I wake up in first thing in the morning and this song pops into my head.
I have found myself walking around just humming this song,
yeah,
and thinking, well, of, not even on Mondays, knowing in lieu of Vince coming on, Willie just out there just humming this song.
It just gets in there.
It feels like Vince
song,
is on
the
show the
song just
all
gets
the
in
time.
There.
I know. And he's back with us now. Sports Animal, WNML in Knoxville. We got caught up in everything that went on over the weekend. We spent a lot of time. We talked about a bird this morning maybe flying into the glass between the studio and where Elijah is. But that was a different bird. We talked about a different bird yesterday and got lost in the shuffle. Was another pretty big story involving Evan Russell. Of course, you know, not knowing what was going to happen. There was a lot of layers to this, and I'm just going to kind of let you set. You were on the broadcast with John Wilkerson, but on another broadcast, so I'm just going to kind of let you lay this out and exactly what happened, the different layers of this Russell story.
All right, I'll try to run through it as quickly as possible, not get into every little detail, but basically the gist of it is we saw the lineup on Friday, and there was no Evan Russell for the regionals, redshirt freshman Charlie Taylor. So all the other starters were there. So you wondered, is he hurt or what's going on? And then the only thing, UT wouldn't really say what it was. They just said, hey, Coach Vitello will have a comment in the post game. So we just left it at that. We're on the broadcast. They don't want to say what it is, so we're not going to speculate. We're going to let it go. But that's not that easy for everybody else. So then all the speculation and you know, posing fan bases and everything, trotting stuff out there. So then in the post game, so that started to build. Oh, what's the reason, all that. So then in the post game, Tony Vitello said that he got a text from Evan Russell in the morning saying that he was sick. And then he just leaves it to the doctors and doesn't know the status. He wasn't with the team at the ballpark. So Again, lots of rumors, you know, everybody speculating, all that kind of stuff.
Okay, let's pause right there. What,
sure.
What were you thinking at that point? What was going through your mind? Because obviously he's a big part of what they do behind the plate, right? That's not a depth piece. Is that fair to say, a depth position for them?
No, it's not. I mean, really, they have three catchers that they've had play behind the plate for him this year. One of them is banged up in Jared Dickey, who started to come back and pinch hit some, but he's not playing in the field yet. He can play the outfield or catcher. He's kind of like their third catcher, but he's not really ready to play in the field yet, coming back from an injury. And your only other catcher is Charlie Taylor, who has started all the midweek games. And he's a redshirt freshman and has not nowhere close to the offensive threat and the experienced player that Evan Russell was. So that's the first thing, honestly, that came through my mind is, wow, they're pretty thin already, and it's Taylor, and then what do you do as long as he's not there? So I didn't know what it was. I didn't overreact to people's speculation because been there, done that with people thinking they know and they don't know. So I thought it was interesting. I knew that it would add to the speculation mm-hmm. when Tennessee wouldn't say it on the front end.
Okay.
I just wanted to get
your mindset, and because you're in that world right there. Now let's fast forward to what happened with the broadcast, the ESPN broadcast in the Stillwater region.
Right. So
this is where it gets really, really weird, juicy, hairy. I don't know. There's a lot of words, but I'm gonna
out of bounds.
Out of bounds. Way
journalistically.
Out of bounds.
Yes.
Way out of bounds.
So even though
like
Tony
Don Kaharski out of bounds.
Wow. Okay. So even though Tony Vitello had said in the post game that Evan Russell was sick, he didn't know his status. I guess later that night in the Stillwater Regional late night baseball on one of the ESPN networks or the app, at the Stillwater Regional, Troy Eklund, who is an analyst, he was an analyst on that broadcast. He's done Arkansas TV games, knows Tony Vitello from his time there at Arkansas as a former Arkansas player. He and Lo Galindo were doing the game, and Eklund ran with this tweet apparently from some young guy that I guess put stuff out there that isn't true like this. And he just read it and said that Russell was busted for PEDs and that he was suspended for the rest of the year and that the team would have to be all retested for, you know, drugs or steroids or whatever. All these false accusations. So that was like late that night, Friday night. Then Saturday came Tennessee's reaction statement saying that Russell broke no rules and that all those things were false, and they have reached out to ESPN and expect an apology. They got an apology. It was about a 20-second written statement that
it was lame.
Was weak.
It was
yeah,
lame.
Absolutely. And you know, you could argue that, hey, if this guy needs to address this situation, you need to write it out for him so he doesn't go offline and say anything else. But still, it didn't come across, one, genuine, two, important to ESPN. Like, they should have started the broadcast and had him on camera and them calling more attention to it than, here's 20 seconds on the way, back to the game, strike two. So that didn't come across well. I don't know how UT feels about what they got from there. But Danny White, UT, a lot of people reacting to it, everyone laying into ESPN. And then we found out that morning that Evan Russell would be active. And here's another part of it, too, is Evan Russell's family, while a lot of this reaction on Saturday morning was happening, his family tweeted that he's all good. He was dealing with some anxiety and some stress. And thanks to everyone's prayers and, you know, hopefully people will learn the lesson not to just run with everything they read on the Internet. So then you have to wonder, okay, is it the stress and anxiety that caused him to be sick? Was there any sort of connection there? I don't know.
Or is sick just kind of a catch-all term that this would be under? He just didn't want to be specific about it. I can see a coach doing that for sure. Coaches have done that before.
Absolutely. And another layer of it too, Willie, is the really delicate and real and more open mental health aspect in sports right now. So that made it even worse for ESPN that someone would put that out there, and now you're dealing with that. So it forces you to be very careful in what you're going to allege and speculate and all that kind of stuff with it. So it you know, Evan Russell came back. He was active. He caught in the eighth inning on Saturday, then got an AB, got a hit. Man, the reaction to him was incredible. And then he started on Sunday. Is he straight good to go, or is this going to be kind of day-to-day in the watch? I mean, we'll see. We haven't talked to Evan since then. They only make two players available in the NCAA press conference since then. But and normally, at the games, I go down and do the interviews in the locker room with a player of the game and Tony. So I haven't been around them. We stay up in the booth in that scenario. So I haven't had a chance to really talk to them either. We'll see. We'll talk to Tony before and some players before this week and see if there's any sort of follow up. But you know, Tony Vitello mentioned, look, the privacy aspect of it too. So that's why I don't think they're going to get into great details. You just never know what the family wants to put out there. They actually volunteered more than what Tony Vitello said. But it's just a kind of a touchy issue, and we'll see how it plays out. He's super important and incredibly popular, but just unfortunate that somebody ran with that, and we'll see if anything else develops from that part of it too.
Yeah, Vince Ferrara is with us. I can see a family having to weigh, hey, do we reveal what's going on here, even though it is a private matter versus you know, just being silent and letting speculation run. That's a tough dilemma, I think, for any school, any family, any media relations thing. And speaking of that, Vince, I would think, you know, you mentioned the apology, the half-baked one, whatever. I would think that there's got to be a question of all reporters. I know they sort of throw together you need a lot of announcers to cover all of these regionals. And you've got a lot of announcers that don't do a lot of games at a high level, for sure. So my question is, what is is he going to be doing any games in the future? Like, to me, that's kind of grounds for at least a suspension.
You would think, and maybe it comes after that Stillwater Regional. I don't know if there wasn't anyone that they could get to do that game in a short period of time in a pinch. Like, if they were to yank him after Friday night, could you get someone that would be able to get there and be prepared? You know, a number of those analysts, not all of them, but some of them, they use regionally. Like, that was in Stillwater. He does stuff in Arkansas and in the region. So I think that might have been part of it. But, you know, a lot of people put it all on ESPN, and this is one person's bad judgment. I don't think ESPN hates us, and that heard that a bunch, but you still ultimately, just like when guys screw up under a head coach with an assistant, whatever, it's still under their umbrella. They still need to be responsible for who they put on the air and their judgment in those situations. So he continued to do those games that the rest of that weekend. I listened last night because they're one of the last games, and he still continued those games. Does that mean they enact a suspension afterwards, or if they just, you know, reprimand him behind the scenes? I don't know. I have not heard anything from ESPN from that standpoint. Yeah. My guess is that whatever they do, they're going to do quietly.
That's a pretty major foul, I would say, that to go with something of that weight. And then the whole speculation of the entire team would be affected by this. That is, I mean, that's really some serious allegations there. And to do that journalistically, you got to feel like you're reporting from a position of authority. You need to have several sources to do that. And apparently it comes from one random tweet. I mean, that's just way out of bounds.
Yeah, and it's not even your regional, you know. Not that if it was your regional, it would be right, but
it's not like he's really... But what surprises me is he knows Tony Vitello. That is a weird twist that I did not know until you just pointed that out.
Yeah, And who knows if there's anything legal. I know a lot of fans.
That's what I want to know. Because you just can't do that stuff. I mean, it's ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, you're talking about Bush League. Like, they can't find anybody better than that that can't. I mean, again, this is like we spent the first two segments talking about Don Gaharski. It's like, dude, you're on TNT. And you realize you can't say holy moly on the air?
Right.
I mean, really? I mean, same deal with this guy. Like, you're in that position, and you don't understand that you just can't go out there and throw that out there. I mean, about an entire team. I mean, especially the number one team in the land, and a team that, you know, I get it. This is what we talk about. Their swagger, the way they carry themselves, they're going to be open to this. People are looking to pounce on them, but you can't do that as a broadcaster. I mean, get out of here with that stuff. All right, Vinny.
Yeah.
Smoky Rain Part 2 was great, man. Appreciate it.
I tell you what, when that song pops in my head and the reverse happens. You guys say you think of me. I think of you guys, so it works both ways.
Wow, it's a mutual agreement. It's a mutual partnership. Vinny, appreciate it as always. Have a great week.
All right, you guys do the same. Appreciate you having me.
Vince Ferrara, the Sports Animal, WNML. We'll continue that discussion. What a Bush League move by that guy. How is he still announcing games at ESPN? We'll come back, wrap up the first hour next.
I mean, could you be more
dumb? Do you have to be?
Could you be more unprofessional?
I mean,
that's almost as if I stuck a microphone out into the crowd, and a person's just reading his phone and scrolling down Twitter and say, "Hey, look at this random tweet." Did he just read the Twitter off of the? Is that what he?
That's for you to come out and say something of that magnitude again. The number one team in the land.
That's not saying, hey, I hear he's got a sprained ankle or something like that. Pretty serious.
This is what, if you really wanted to go there, this is my opinion. You just say, look, there's a tweet out there that I've read. Like, wow. I mean, if it's true, man, oh, man. But who knows if this is true. This is just one random tweet out there, but it's pretty damning.
Yeah,
but it's unverified.
But
you can't even do that.
You can't even do that. But I'm saying if you did, you can't even do that. You can just make mention that I saw a tweet that, wow, if that's true, man, oh, man. But you can't just
sit there. That's not good. And he's not even at the regional. If he's at the regional and he sees it and then he wants to go follow up behind the scenes and come up with some other sources, some other things to see if he can. That's what you do.
I mean, how?
Before you bring it to the air, you look at it and you say, that's interesting. Let's go see if I can find anything out about this. And then I'll address it on the air or not. That's journalism 101. You don't have to go to Northwestern School for Journalism or Syracuse.
Here's an idea. If you're so tight with Vitello, why don't you just text him and say, this is what I'm seeing. Is any of this true? I'm doing the Stillwater Regional. Is this true?
Yeah, and what relevance does that have
and
to his broadcast anyway?
Back,
it's not like he has to get
that
it out there at that moment.
Or Vitello goes, hell no, that's not true.
Yes.
What are you talking about, man?
Pretty easy.
Get the heck out of here with that. So, like, why wouldn't you do that if you have a relationship with him? You're just going to go say that on the air as a play-by-play? I mean, you've got to be kidding me.
Well, to me, you know what it shows is ESPN's lack of depth. When you try to staff these regionals, you see announcers that you've never seen before. Now, that's how you have to do it, right?
Well,
it's not like you can get the Major League Baseball announcers.
Like
they all have games.
We got one at our – Max Herz is sitting right here doing that.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I mean, you can't get a guy Max Herz to go do a regional? Like, give me a break.
Okay. That's part of where I'm going with that. They're not working very hard, I don't think, to find those people when there are a lot of people that would absolutely jump at the chance.
There are plenty.
Jump at the chance
plenty,
to do games like that.
Right, of good announcers.
Some guys, like the guy that did the Corvallis, I watched him a lot, did a pretty good job. You know, he was certainly enthusiastic and worked really hard to prepare. And so I commend him for doing that. Other guys do a lot of college games, but when you have that many regionals, there's 16 of them, you need 16 announcing teams, and you can't pull from your major league baseball broadcasters.
Yeah.
And you probably can't even pull minor league baseball broadcasters away from their minor league teams in most cases. unless it's right in their backyard. I mean, they're paid by their minor league club.
I'm not saying it's easy, but here's the deal.
But you got to do better than that.
Well, here's the deal. When you get somebody like that, okay, and then they do that, they're out. It's that simple. They're out.
You should be out
of the mix. You got your chance. You're out. This will be a hard learning lesson for you. You can't do that. You're a moron. You cannot do that in this world. If you haven't figured this out in broadcasting, then get out. You can't do this at this level. Then you move on to the next guy. It's that simple. I'm not saying it's easy to find, but there are plenty out there. Next person up. Okay? There are plenty of men and women out there that are beginning their careers or currently aren't doing anything. Is Joe Fisher doing anything?
I would think he would jump at the chance to go do that.
He was a longtime voice doing Vanderbilt baseball Vanderbilt sports, but Vanderbilt baseball for how long? Decades? He's just sitting there doing, homework. You can find plenty of people. That's fine that you gave this guy a chance. Get him the hell out of there. He clearly is not equipped to do this at that level, at any level.
I think it's probably even easier to find the play-by-play guy than it is the analyst, as crazy as that sounds. I
don't know if that's the case.
Somebody
or not,
who's actually good and knows what they're doing, I do think it's harder to find those guys, but they're out there. But I do question ESPN's efforts year round to say, you know what, I'd like to, let's really find some good teams. I know I need 16 teams
of
announcers here.
To that guy. That sounded like somebody who was doing a high school game. And I'm not, there are a lot of great people who do high school games. That sounded like somebody doing a high school game.
Yes, it did. Well, that's maybe that would be a teaching tool on a high school game where a teacher would go to that person and say, okay, here's a lesson. You can't go with a report that's based on a tweet. That's maybe you could make that mistake on a high school report, and that would be the learning experience. You can't make that mistake on an ESPN national tournament level. You can't do that.
Your time is up, man. Your time is up. Let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Nate.
Hey, Willie. Have you ever had an instance, not to really this severe of a goof, but I know that sometimes broadcasters are fed information from the truck. How do you verify that the information is correct?
That's a really good question. What you do, I don't know that. First of all, we would never report on what's happening in another game. You know, unless you would look at a source and say, okay, it's Elliot Friedman reporting. That's what you would say. If it's a credible source, you would say it's Pierre LeBrun reporting X. That's what you would do in an extreme circumstance. You try to stay away from stuff that's not affecting your broadcast. If it's an injury to a player or anything like that, you wait for the team to give you, here's the word from the locker room. Upper body injury will not return, something like that. So I guess that's the answer to your question, but it's a good question because what does happen when you're in the booth is you're live, you're in the moment, and you have to think on your feet in the middle of a game. And so you can make bad decisions, for sure, if you jump the gun. So I think the first lesson would be to not rush something that just might come across your attention. You know, you see your phone or something, before you blurt it out on the air, you check. You know, you try to verify, you try to communicate with the people in the truck before you would go with anything on the air.
All right, we'll come back, switch gears to start out. Number two, Mitch Light from The Athletic. We'll talk about SEC Media Days in Destin. Also a little college football. A lot of things with Mitch coming up on the other side. But first, Willie, you've got a word about QC Kinetics.
All right, QC Kinetics is helping people get out there, have fun, doing the things you love to do. Because this is the active season of the year. It hasn't gotten too hot yet. And even when it does, you know people love to get out there and do their things. Swimming, golfing, running, hiking. But if you've got the joint pain, it can really inhibit your ability to do those things that you love. QC Kinetics is helping people get the fun back with advanced regenerative treatments from local medical professions. You just go into this office. It's non-surgical treatment. It repairs and restores damaged tissue in your joints, and it gives you long-lasting relief from pain. So if you have not explored this, this is something that's does not involve surgery, no drugs, no downtime. So they've got over 100 clinics nationwide, QC Kinetics, and it's the nation's leader in these cutting-edge, all-natural options. And the patient satisfaction reports are excellent. So stop putting it off. Get a totally free in-office consultation by calling QC Kinetics at 615-249-4024. That's 615-249-4024. 615-249-4024 for QC Kinetics.